Thank God. Are you excited?
Yes.
We ought to be excited when we go to church, when we're receiving the word. We ought to be excited about it. I'm excited. I'm excited about coming to church. When we receive the word of God into our hearts, it will always produce a harvest. It has everything to do with how we receive it. If we say, that's just a book, it doesn't make that much difference, then it can't impact us. But if we go and we go to this word and we say, this is the holy written word of Almighty God, and that if you believe His Spirit is present, that if you're a born-again Christian, His Spirit dwells in us, that He is the great teacher, then every person in here right now can receive a message custom tailored to our circumstances, where we are, what we need, and only God can do that. The Word, we can preach the Word, but it's the Holy Spirit that quickens it. You know, if there's 1,000 people listening, 1,000 different messages are happening. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is quickening specific things from His Word. Because the Word is inexhaustible. You can't exhaust the Word. You may read the same scripture 50 times, you can get something new every time from it. This is not an ordinary book. It's the holy book. It is the word of the living God. He's living. He's not dead. And He's alive, and His presence is here right now. How do you discern that? By faith. You believe it. Why do you believe it? Because He said it. He said that He's present. In fact, He's always everywhere. He's omnipresent. How does He do that? Well, He's God. How do you know that? You take it by faith. When you act on it by faith, you perceive things. It's when you act on it. When you believe, say, I receive that, I believe that, then it becomes true in your case. God is perceived by faith. He's not perceived by senses. People say, well, prove to me God is real. That's backwards. Yeah. He doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. And He's not going to. In fact, He's already proven it. You just look at the creation. The Bible said if we can look at the things that are created and know there's a God in heaven. And if we don't, it's because we've hardened our hearts and won't believe. But God is so visible. If you'll approach life by faith, you really can't come to another conclusion but that there is a God in heaven and that His word is true. And if we'll receive that, then things open up to us. But it doesn't, God doesn't prove things and say, you know, people say, well, prove it to me, show me. It doesn't work that way. We come to God and say, you are. The Bible says that those that come to Him must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We come to Him and say, Lord, I take You at Your word. I believe You're real. I believe Your word is true. And then things start opening up to us. The word doesn't mean anything to someone that has not received Jesus by faith. It's just a bunch of words. That's why unbelievers will look at it and say, I just don't get it. I read this and it doesn't mean anything to me. And it won't until you receive Him. And as we do, this opens up. The word of God opens up. And when you become baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's not supposed to be an optional thing. In fact, it's not optional. The church world has separated this. But it's not optional. It's not supposed to be like you get born again and then, well, 8 years later, well, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. With the evidence of speaking in tongues. How do you know you're filled? People say, well, I'm filled. The Bible clearly says, evidence of speaking in other tongues. How do you know? That's not supposed to be the Bible. Jesus said, don't go anywhere. You stay in Jerusalem until you're filled. Until you're endued with power, you don't go anywhere. It's not supposed to be optional. And this is why so many things don't work for people that are in the body of Christ. This is not my subject, but we'll just go here for now. But the Bible, there's so many things that aren't working for people because they're not equipped. It's like, you know, now I haven't been in the military, but I know enough that if you're going to go into a battle, you don't go like me, the way I'm dressed right now. You have equipment. You have things that are issued to you, and you're supposed to know how to use them. You go equipped, and you go protected. You go armed. And there are so many people that are, they don't even know what they're dealing with in this earth. They don't understand that there is a devil to shun. There is a hell to shun. There is a real devil. There is Satan. And he's not playing games. And we go in and try to go with intellectualism and things that aren't the Spirit of God. It's no wonder things don't work. And religion has dumbed these things down to where the church is powerless, doesn't walk in the power of God, doesn't walk in the true fullness of the Spirit of God. And so we're getting we're not made. Jesus himself said, don't leave Jerusalem until you're endued with power. You're not supposed to be a witness. You're not supposed to go out until you have the power of God resident on the inside. Now, every born-again believer has the Spirit of God on the inside, but that's not saying, it's a separate experience to be filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And you see the church, the early church, everybody. Just turn over there real quick. I don't believe we'll go this, but just turn over to Acts real quick. Acts praise God. Just go to Acts 1, verse 4. I believe this is going to get more and more pertinent. You watch. Stuff is getting set to happen. We live in some different times. If you don't think this, I'm not saying trying to say a bunch of negative stuff, but where we are right now, globally, as a country, there's stuff that's just under the surface that stuff could change. And people, we don't understand that the comfort that people are living in and the complacency, they've taken things for granted. And like, you know, you have the ability, in the body of Christ is the same way, have the ability just to skate and not take things seriously. Though, you know, a lot of people, they're just skating. They're not using their faith. They're not looking to God. They're too busy for everything. Just going, going, going. Yeah, but there is a truth. There is the power of God. It's real. And I really believe, as part of the revival that's coming, you're going to see people do a 180. You're going to see people turn where all of a sudden they didn't have any time, but all of a sudden they have lots of time because they've bumped up against stuff that is immovable, and without the Spirit of God and the power of God, it's not going anywhere, and people are going to start calling on the name of the Lord. I'm not saying they aren't anywhere, but there's a lot of people in this world that are very hardened. But stuff happening in the world has a way of pushing people back to their knees. It's not God doing it. But people will cry out. Acts 1:4 says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. See, notice, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Let me ask you something. Are they born again? Yes. Has Jesus risen? Yes. Do they believe he's risen? Yes. What does Romans 10 say? Hold on. Just look at it, because not everybody knows. Can quote. You can turn to Romans, but just hold your finger in Acts. I'll read it to you. Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 8 says, what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How are you born again? How are you saved? What the Bible calls being saved? It tells you right here that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be what?
Saved.
Saved. See, that's not a religious term. That's a biblical term. What does that mean? It means that you are in the family of God. That's what it means. Amen. You're either in or you're out. You're not in, out, in, out. You're either in or you're out. How do you become in? You believe what the Bible says, that Jesus rose from the dead. You say, I believe he paid the price for my sin. I believe that his blood was sufficient to save me, to wash me, to deliver me from the power of Satan. And now my real person on the inside has been recreated, a new man. The Bible said, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Spirit of God, He's recreated me in his image. My spirit is now born again, we would say, recreated. You don't become born again naturally. If you whatever hair color you had before you're born again, you still have the same hair color. Your mind, thankfully, is not erased. You don't go back to like when you were one day old, thank God. You still know your name. But your spirit is made new. Is new. Brand new. That's the born again. That's what happens when you become born again. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, are these people saved? Yes, this is the early church. Now, what does it say? Verse 5, for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Are they born again?
Yes.
But he's saying that you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. See, people say, well, you have the Holy Spirit. Yes, he's the one that regenerates you. Yes, he's in you, but it's a different experience. You can see it very clearly right now. They're born again.
Yeah.
But he says they're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This is a separate experience. Now, the Holy Spirit had not been poured out at this point. He has now, so you don't have to wait.
Right.
It should be born again, filled with the Spirit. That ought to be it. Well, I'm going to see about that. I don't know about that stuff. Don't know about that tongue stuff, you know. Why? Because the enemy has fought so hard against it. But you see right here, it's as plain as day in the Bible. Verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Verse 8, but you shall receive power. So everybody say power.
Power.
Well, didn't they have it now? So they're born again. See, that's the problem. People go off and they say, well, I'm born again. I'm just going to go and do the work of Jesus. I'm going to go into all the world. No, he did not say that. He told them, he gave them a command, and then he said, but wait, he's waiting for this. People said, well, go ye. Yeah, but go ye. He also said, wait ye, and then go ye. You wait, go. It's like you're going, but wait, then go. You're going to be going, but don't just go quite yet. Now, if Jesus said go, but then he told you to wait, and then go, you better not say, well, I heard the first command, I'm going. See, that's a lot of what the church has done. They're running. And they don't understand that they're actually not equipped.
Right.
And so it's no wonder. We're going up against stuff in the world and trying to use our heads to beat up against other people's intellectualism, and we wonder why it doesn't work. You can argue somebody to death. You're not gonna prove anything. You can't prove the Bible is true by arguing about it.
Right.
Let me be real frank. You're not going to convert somebody that's Muslim by arguing about it. They have a holy book too. You're not.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're not supposed to. argue. It's not a debate. It's not supposed to be that we're going to, well, I'm going to prove to you that Jesus exists. You don't receive Jesus by your head. We just read it. You receive him in your heart. You believe. For with the heart one believes, it says in Romans 10. It doesn't say with your head. In fact, your head will go, what? Jesus, born of a virgin, raised from the dead? What? Your head is going, lost me at born of a virgin. What is that? How? Your head can't understand that. But your heart can be saying yes. Yet, because faith comes by hearing. See, faith is there when the word goes. It's there. When the word comes into your heart, the faith is there, but you have to act on it. You know, you can push it down. People do it all the time. Well, not today. I don't quite believe. Maybe some other time, but I'm just not quite ready. You see it in the Bible. Paul was preaching to people. Remember, what was it? Was it King Agrippa who said, well, you almost persuade me. Well, that was a bad choice. I hope he went back on that. You almost persuade me to be a Christian. But it's not a mental thing. And we're going up against a world that is intellectual, that is sight-driven, just running around from thing to thing to thing, and has all the information that is just more information than ever, just available at the touch of a screen. And we're going to get into more debate. And Christians are thinking they're going to debate and they're going to have the answers for everything. You don't have the answers for everything. Every person is going to have to take it by faith. Amen. They're going to have to come to Jesus by faith. I knew an individual, a friend of mine, I've known for a while, but he was saying, he's an engineer, software engineer like me, and I was talking to him one time, and he said, with my head, I had heard stuff, and he didn't believe at all, but he had heard things about Jesus, and he just came to the point. He said, just throw it aside, forget it, I'm jumping in. And his life changed at that point. He became born again. He was like, I don't understand everything, but I believe. I believe what the Bible says. He became born again, and his life changed. Amen. See, it's not our head. Your head might be going, well, how is that? How is it? And people, the more they try to figure it out with their head, and they're not going to get anywhere. And if we go armed trying to figure it out with a bunch of arguments, we're not going to get anywhere, because we're not meant to preach the gospel. We're not meant to go out and debate the gospel. We're meant to go out and preach the gospel. And you preach the gospel with signs and wonders following. They're supposed to be the power of God that is there to convince people. What is the difference between another religion like Islam? The power of God. We have a living God. I've mentioned this. T.L. Osborne just saw miracles and miracles and miracles in his ministry. But when he first went to another continent, I can't remember if it was Africa or where it was, but he went and they didn't know. They weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. They hadn't heard anything about the power of God, anything about what we're talking about in Acts. And they went and they were missionaries, and they went and they preached to a bunch of people that were Muslim. And then at the end, they said, does anybody want to receive Jesus? And they laughed at him. Why? I mean, they're saying, why? Why would we do that? Why would we receive? Why? You? Why would we receive Jesus? And they went home so defeated and so dejected. But then they found out about the power of God and the infilling of the Spirit. And they went back out on the mission field in the power of God. And they went and preached. And people, initially, he preached Jesus, and he said, who would want to be a Christian? And nobody wanted to be. And he said, the Christians that are in the congregation, if you have something physically wrong with you, you come up here, God's going to heal you right now. Jesus will heal you. And he did that, and people got healed like this. And now all of a sudden people were, now he said, who wants to receive this Jesus? And people responded. Why? That's different. That just doesn't happen. That's showing the power of God. And testimony, they did this test time and time again. Where they walked and people would see people throwing away crutches, people's eyes being completely made whole, people that couldn't hear, they can hear. And people say, well, that, I want that. That's what's supposed to happen. Now, that's not the only thing. Some people take that and just run and say that's the only thing. No, we're supposed to walk in love. No, we're supposed to grow closer to God. We don't seek that type of stuff in itself, but it's supposed to be part of what we do. Now look at this. It says, verse 8, Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. Now go down to verse 12. Now, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Look, they're all there. All the disciples, Mary, the women. Now look at verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. How clear is that? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, were they born again? Yeah. They were born again. Well, we're just filled with the Spirit when we're born again. No. This is a separate experience. They were all filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice who all was in that room. All the disciples. Mary. Did you know Mary was a tongue talker? Doesn't it say they all? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm telling you, I just read something. I think it was today or yesterday. It was in a different article. They were talking about some stuff, and they mentioned speaking in tongues as being of the devil. That's a flat lie. Why would that, and they were lumping in with other things. Why would that happen? Who would propagate that? Why? Because it's evidence of you being endued with power. What did Jesus say? Don't leave home without the power. There is a devil. And what's he afraid of? He's afraid of power. If you have the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said, don't go and try to start witnessing unless you have power, unless you have the Holy Spirit. You're ill-equipped if you don't have it. But then that you see them going out. Look at let's see. So they went out, and then they preached immediately. Went out and preached to the people, and they got, they just go down to Let's go down to verse 14. It says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" And then he goes on to preach. And then you see that the word of God spread, the church grew. And then you see look at Acts 3, verse 1. "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, where they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter and said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God." Well, what would you be doing? Did you read verse 2? "And certain man, lame from his mother's womb," the man has never walked. Ever. He didn't get injured. He never has walked. And yet, in an instant, he's standing on his feet. He's walking. He's leaping. He's praising God, and people were amazed. This is the preaching of the word with the signs and wonders following. But it happened after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Why don't you turn over to 1 Corinthians? Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Look at chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. It says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. He says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Remember, that's the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But even if you prophesied, even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater. Now look at this. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. What is he saying? You don't just go around speaking in tongues to speak in tongues when you're in assembly. I mean, if you're praying, and we're praying together, and it's corporate prayer, it's one thing, but in a church service like this, if we were just going to pray in tongues, it edifies, if I were praying in tongues, it edifies me, but it doesn't do anything for you. So he's saying, I'd rather you prophesy, that's inspired utterance, unless there's a message in tongues, and then an interpretation, that's equivalent to prophecy. See, notice it says, he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed, he interprets that the church may receive edification. So you prophesying is greater than just speaking in tongues in a service, unless there's an interpretation to go with the tongues. Tongues and interpretations is equivalent to prophecy. But that's part of being endued with power. Verse 6, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, by teaching, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? So he's saying, if you just go off and start speaking in tongues, nobody will know what you're talking about unless there's a distinction. And so he goes into some of these things. And he says, like in verse 14, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. What did he just say? If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. So he's referring to praying in a tongue. Verse 15, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. What's he talking about? Singing in the Spirit? Singing with tongues? What is that? Is that just to do it? No. It's tapping into the supernatural, the power of God, which is what we're talking about. It's not supposed to be shut down. It's supposed to be a gateway to the supernatural. Verse 16, otherwise, if you bless the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? Verse 17, for indeed you give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Verse 18, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. That's Paul speaking. Now, Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament. And he said what? I speak in tongues more than you all. So, you listen to some people, then Paul must have been possessed. He must have just been yielding to the devil. That's amazing. He could write majority of the New Testament, but he's still yielding to the devil. He's not. No. This is standard equipment. That's where I started. This is standard equipment. This, you know, when we get into the army of God, just like when you get into the army, you're issued standard equipment. This is supposed to be standard equipment. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not actually optional for the Christian. I mean, yes, you can reject it, but you can reject the blessings of God. You can reject walking in love, but it's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be standard equipment. Get born again, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Just the pattern we just saw with the early church. Amen. Amen. And it's not passed away.
Nope.
You take one more verse? Just look at the chapter before. 13, verse 8. Just got done. You know, if you've been to a wedding, ever.
Oh, yeah.
Almost, you know, not all of them do this, but you've heard 5%. You've heard 1 Corinthians 13. But look at verse 8, just got done talking about love, what it says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. Some people say, well, see, the Bible is what's perfect. It's complete. So all this stuff has come, it has passed away. But look at verse 8. It says, where there are prophecies, they will fail. Well, have prophecies failed? Are there still prophecies?
Yes.
Is there still inspired utterance?
Yes.
Yes. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. So that's sandwiched right in the middle. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Has knowledge vanished away? Goodness, no. So what about the tongues in the middle?
No.
If you're going to be intellectually honest, there's no way that that part is the part that's passed away, but those other two are still true. That's just not so.
Right.
So it's just as much today. And then Paul said, so you have the apostle that wrote the majority of the New Testament. You have all the original apostles, you know, save from Judas that, you know, what happened to him. You know, he had his replacement. They're going to select here in a minute. But the apostles, all the disciples that were there, plus Mary, plus anybody that's a Christian at that point, all in the upper room, and it said they all spoke with tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could go through Acts and see how other, this same pattern. There's five specific instances where it's either specifically said that people receive the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, or it's implied that they did. And three of those five, they had hands laid on them to receive the Holy Spirit. That's the Bible pattern. And then we have the Apostle Paul saying, I speak in tongues more than you all. So where would you get that speaking in other tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit passed away? It's not Bible. It's religion. But there's no power in it. And we're not equipped to deal with what we need to deal with in this earth. We're not equipped to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
We're not.
Right.
And there are whole denominations that are going out, don't believe this at all, and are going out purely intellectual. Now, thank God some people get born again, and that's awesome. But Jesus himself said, don't go without this. And we're not supposed to be witnessing just in our own selves, just intellectually, just in the soulless realm. We're supposed to be ministering by an anointing. We're supposed to be ministering with the power of God. We're supposed to back up the Word. God himself backing it up and saying, this is my Word, because there is power that follows it. That's different than any other religion on the face of the earth. Because those gods are dead. Jesus is not. He's risen. He's alive. And this is how it gets proven.
Amen.
In this day and age of skepticism, when people don't believe anything, are sarcastic and skeptical about everything, it looks so trite, so quaint, that people think, oh, you still believe that book, you fool. But you can't deny the power of God. I mean, people will deny it. They denied it in Jesus. But people that are open will see something different. They'll say, wait a minute, that doesn't happen every day. That's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're open, it gives credence. It gives a back. It proves. It gives. It doesn't prove it directly, but it gives strength and support. to the word that goes forth. That's the anointing of God. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a difference between just saying the word of God and being anointed by the Holy Spirit to preach the word. Mm-hmm. Do you notice he said, don't go and start preaching until you have been filled with the Holy Spirit? It makes a difference in preaching.
Yes, it does.
It makes a difference. We're supposed to preach in power. It's not just, if you read, I'm not going to take the time to turn there, but if you read 1 Corinthians 2, when it's talking about my speech and my preaching was not with the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, he's not even talking there about signs and wonders. He's saying my speech and my preaching. It's supposed to be, have a punch. Mm-hmm. That's just as much anoint. That's just as much the power of God as seeing somebody get up that's never walked. And in fact, faith comes that way under the anointing word for those other things to happen. Hallelujah.